Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of The Brown Briefly. Every week we try to live up to his high standards of hosting a discussion of current events laced with empathy, intelligence. We're still trying on that one. Humor and progressive persuasion. Brian's concept of less is more, more or less, always left us wanting more. On this day, we had a number of events. I just want to run through very quickly. In 1812, Charles Dickens was born. Birthday of Charles Dickens. And then in 1964, as Truman and Molly in the Tuesday Morning Scramble show that just ended featured, the Beatles, the British invasion began. They landed in New York City at Idlewild, now
JFK.
JFK, yeah. Right. Launching the British invasion in 1964 on this day. In 2013, Mississippi was the last state to certify the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery. Let me repeat that date. 2013 in Mississippi.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's also National Fettuccine Alfredo Day.
Oh, thank goodness.
I know. And National Ballet. You like the ballet, don't you, Truman?
I do.
Oh, yeah, I thought you did. It's 157 days till Strawberry Festival.
Hee hee.
That's July, starts on July 14th, and the weather will probably be a lot warmer than it is today. I want to jump right in here with friends old and new. Sitting next to me in the Gene Bosch broadcast studio in downtown Vashon is my friend, flight instructor, Vashon Airport Commissioner, West Texas and East Montana devotee, former Army intelligence officer.
Yeah, you have trouble saying
I
that,
do.
Don't you?
Yeah. Kitchen remodeler and fellow treetop flyer or crasher. Truman O'Brien. How you doing, Truman?
Good morning. Thank you. Yeah. You know, it's funny. We usually say West Texas, but in Montana, we usually say Eastern Montana.
Oh, that's true.
Instead of East Montana. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
When you said that, I thought,
That's like the state of Washington. It's Eastern Washington.
It is, yeah. You don't say East Washington.
No.
But anyway, thought that interesting.
You say the East Side when you're talking about Bellevue or whatever.
Yeah, true.
Oh, you have to bring that up with Christy the Wordsmith or something.
I shall.
We do not have Bruce zooming in from the Southern Hemisphere. Bruce Holman, skipper of the Vashana, president of the Vashon Heritage Museum and guardian of the galaxy. Bruce Holman is in Australia where everything there is trying to kill you.
Actually, I think he just left and he's heading to New Zealand today.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. I think you're right.
That may be why he's not.
Yeah. I think he, Auckland, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
North Island. We are also joined via Zoom by Defender of Democracy, Kevin Jones, of Indivisible Vashon and the Vashon Climate Action Group, who collectively strive to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate or at least tolerate. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing well, Craig, and I'm happy to see that of the intelligence part was in Truman's intro, so I don't have to live up to that part of the contract.
I'll have to work that into your intro too,
exactly,
in some fashion.
Yeah.
I hesitate to see how that might go.
I'll have to really use some imagination and creativity. Yeah. Not really hard, but I mean, it's I didn't mean that, Kevin. this week, our special small talk guests will be discussing Zero Waste Vashon's Choose Plastic Free campaign. That phrase altogether sounds like it was written by Yoda, and that'll be that's something I'm going to be very interested in, and I'm sure you will too. Nancy O'Connor from Zero Waste Vashon, president, and Celia Congdon of Choose Plastic Free. How are you, Nancy?
Very well, thank you.
Good, I'm glad you're here. And Celia?
Great, thanks so much for having us.
Super, and I'm glad you're able to come right into the Gene Bosch storefront studio here for Voice of Vashon. Mine is the voice of Craig Bellis, former tow truck driver, guardian of Pan American's first 747, women's shoe salesman, Washington State Attorney General, and constitutional law professor. Boy, I keep changing that.
Amongst other things.
Just make stuff up, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know about the tow truck driving bit.
Oh, yeah, that was one that's when I was a Teamster.
He's got great stories about that, I can tell you.
Yeah, pulling cars. I was the repo man in downtown San Francisco.
Ooh.
Had to keep my head down. Oh, somebody's, I think that's our computer.
So you learned how to drive tow truck up and down hills.
I did. Oh. And pull cars out of spots where there was an inch in front and an inch behind the car that I was towing. What's everybody been up to? Truman, what have you been doing this last week? I know the answer.
I've got the stove installed. Yay!
Nice.
That was an ongoing saga, man. That thing, I expect it to be plug and play. Oh, yeah, just pull the old stove out, stick the new stove in. Nothing to it. Ha!
Marketing.
Oh, my God.
Well, your idea of cutting off the back of the counter, or the cabinet, you would have been...
Well, there's just been
screwed,
no way.
Is what
yeah. Well, you see, here's the deal. I bought a new stove 30 years ago or 28 years ago or whatever it was. And at that time, I was able to slide the old one out, new one in, no problem. Well, since that time, I built some new cabinets and got a new refrigerator. And there was no room. So I had to cut the back of the darn cabinet out to get the stove in or the old one out. But anyway, I got it. It works. It's beautiful. Love it. Yeah, actually cooked several things on it already, so I'm very happy.
Oh, that's great.
That's the end of my story.
But you had another issue, though.
Yeah, I did.
You had the classic drawer right next to it that it got something caught in there, and you can't get the drawer open.
Can't open the dang drawer. You know, it's the junk drawer that goes right next to the stove where all your utensils are, you know, your tongs and your spoons and all that stuff. I got something in it. It's not a potato masher. That's what usually does it. But I'm going to have to cut a hole in the top of the cabinet to get in there.
I was thinking either the first thing is a spatula to kind of reach in and then a hole saw.
Yeah, a hole saw is what it's going to have to be.
Leave the torch. Don't use the torch.
Yeah, I've thought about it. Believe me.
You know, if you pull the tongs out of there, and it still doesn't open, then you'll be able to say, the tong is gone, but the malady lingers on.
Oh God, where's
the ba-boom here? Where's the sound effects?
That was amazing. I am impressed. I have to tell you. I truly am impressed.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about a dad joke. Wow. Kevin, what have you been up to?
Well, in the line of bad jokes, let's see. It's a busy week for me. For example, tomorrow, which is February 8th, according to my calendar, at 6 p.m., the Quartermaster Yacht Club Tech Talks are back.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to start off at the library meeting room, Vashon Library Meeting Room. At 6 o'clock, talking about how to use that VHF radio. And if you're a boater, you need to know how to use that radio. So show up, we'll do some intro and some practice. And then on Thursday, February 9th at 1:30 at the Vashon Library Meeting Room, we're going to give people an opportunity to learn how to use Take Action Network so folks can be really on the spot about receiving actions they can take to get good policy passed through the state legislature. So that's a couple things that I've got on my calendar. So I will be happy for next week when things are a little quiet.
I don't think things are ever quiet for you. You are the the volunteer meister of...
He's the ever-ready battery
guy.
I'll
tell you.
He just... It never stops.
It's a great contribution.
Personal failure, I know. I work on it, but
The other thing that he didn't cover that it happened this week is that he got a haircut. He looks great.
Single one.
They cut them all. Yeah.
It does look marvelous. Nice. For those of you who can't see Kevin,
exactly,
because we're on the radio.
I'm giving a full 360.
Very nicely.
Look at
done.
That. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, clean up in the back. Yeah,
that's a little more sharing than we need, actually.
Let's move on to our small Please. Talk guests and yeah. find out what they've been up to this last week. Nancy O'Connor, how about you?
Well, I've been doing a lot of traveling. We have a son who is auditioning at music schools, and that has turned out to be quite a project, but it's very exciting.
Wow. And, what does he play?
He plays jazz piano.
Oh, nice. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So little lull here and then not another one till the end of next week. So I'm hoping to maybe get up to the mountains and ski. Haven't had enough of that this year.
Great. That'd be fabulous. Celia Congdon, how about you?
Well, I don't think, gosh, my kids are past auditioning college age, so I don't have that to worry about. Planning a trip to the mountains, but also trying to figure out how to do Earth Day banners around plastic, anti-plastic, with the Chautauqua Elementary School Green Team. So that's sort of been back and forth and trying to kind of figure this out.
You'll have to go to cotton sheets or something, huh?
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, sourcing repurposed material, that's one thing that we're looking at. But we were given a tent, and it was a huge tent. But by the time you stripped off the bottom, the this and that, I don't think it's going to be enough material.
Hmm.
But actually, now that we have a captive audience, I'll put it out there. If anybody has repurposed some material hanging around in their garage that you think could make about 10 banners to be hung up in town, something, you know, nylon-y, hate to say it, it is plastic. However, it is would be repurposed. We'd love to hear from you.
And
so
what,
anyway,
what size? What size?
Well,
banners?
We're thinking of around 3 feet by 5 feet or three by 4 feet,
okay,
something like that,
for each banner.
For each.
For
banner.
Each per banner, correct? Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So they should get a hold of Zero Waste.
Exactly.
Okay. Zero Waste Vashon.
So if anybody's got that like roll of Tyvek back in the corner of the barn that they just put there, because
exactly.
Stuff like that.
Yep.
Good
awesome.
Idea.
That is a good idea. What have I been up to? Well, first of all, last Thursday, on the Thursday morning scramble, Mike Nichols, who just returned from Memphis in blues competition, and I did a whole show on Stax Records, Memphis Soul, which was just I had a lot of fun.
Great
we did
show.
A lot of fun
great
with
show.
That one.
It was a great show.
Thanks. We finished up our airplane annual, where you got to basically take the airplane apart and put it back together again and have it inspected and signed off on, and that happened. And now I'm preparing for next Sunday's Paul Caldwell scholarship concert that he's going to have at the high school. Paul Caldwell, as many of you know, is a musician on the island and has been taught at the high school, and there's going to be somewhere between 15 and 20 island songwriters and musicians who will be there on February 12th from 2 to 5. $10 donation is recommended. There's no actual entry fee, admission fee, but there are some of the best singer-songwriters on the island who are going to be there trying to raise money for the high school students. That's what I've been up to.
And that's at the...
That's at the high school theater.
At the theater, okay.
Yes, that's at the high school theater.
Nice.
Okay, let's move into the small talk. What time is it?
It is 11:14.
11:14, right on the schedule. Choose Plastic Free, okay, is a campaign within Zero Waste Vashon. The campaign aims to develop a culture of Vashon to choose plastic-free, particularly single-use plastic, in an effort to reach zero carbon emissions. The campaign is year-long and addresses four areas of plastic use and offers alternative to Vashon households. We'll get a chance to talk about those four areas in a moment and stuff. And I want to thank Celia Congdon and Nancy O'Connor for joining us here on Small Talk. First of all, we have had representatives from Zero Waste Vashon in the past, but just to refresh people's memories. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you got involved in Zero Waste Vashon. And let me start with Nancy.
Sure. So I Well, I've been an environmentalist my whole life. And so when I moved here to Vashon, I was looking for a way to participate and in the community in environmental programs. And I went to a public meeting of Zero Waste Vashon, and there was really great energy there and a lot of good people. And I decided that that was the group I wanted to join. And I had done recycling work in Seattle before I moved over here to Vashon, so it seemed like a really good fit, and it's been great. I've been involved for 5 years now. Yeah.
Terrific. Thank you for that.
And you are the president, Nancy. I think you should step up and admit that.
That's a good point.
Yes, I am, and yeah, it's been great. It's a great group of people, and we love all the community interaction we have, and one of those was Celia.
And Celia, how about you? How did you get involved, and how did you come to the island?
Well, actually, I came because more than 35 years ago, my husband already had a house on the island. So when we got married, moved over and started a family, and has been here ever since. So this is my first involvement with Zero Waste through the Choose Plastic Free campaign. And originally, some people may know, I tried to live a year without plastic back in 2019, I guess. And it was just a solo endeavor. And people did reach out to me, like Zero Waste, saying, hey, why don't you get involved? We could be. But at that point, I just sort of wanted to see what I could do. But fast forward, 3 years, I decided. I wrote a rant in The Beachcomber, a green brief, and about plastic. And, like everybody, just reading more and more kind of dire headlines. And so I invited anybody to kind of reach out and, let's get together. And one of the people who showed up was Nancy O'Connor. So through Nancy, Zero Waste has been on board right from the beginning, and it's really been great to have their larger organization, their, the infrastructure, their name, et cetera. So it's been a really nice fit.
You know, Nancy, without getting into a lot of detail, what is the mission of Zero Waste Vashon?
Sure. So our mission is to help our community create less waste. And that can take many forms. One is to use less stuff to begin with, which is the focus of this particular campaign. Other things that we do are to encourage us to take products, things that we consider waste, and turn them into resources for new products. So to encourage that circular economy. So make sure that the plastic that we recycle gets turned back into other products, or we're working on getting a community compost facility so that the waste organic material, our waste food and our yard waste, all that gets sent off island currently, could be used on the island to create a useful product in compost that we could then put on our island soils and gardens and farms. And so to encourage that, because everything that we use on the island started off as some sort of a natural resource. And if we don't make use of those feedstocks to create new materials, we have to go back after new natural resources. And that's hard on the environment. That has many environmental impacts.
I would guess.
You wanted me to be quick. That was not quick.
That
sorry.
Was good. No, that was. That was very good and very clear. It seems to me, my wife especially, is just adamant about reducing, reusing, recycling. And a lot of the problem is educating people. It's not easy sometimes to understand how to do these things unless you make it a bit of an avocation. And simplifying and educating seems to be such a big part of the job.
You know, that is absolutely true. And here on the island, we have a pretty complicated waste system because about half the island subscribes to curbside pickup and the other half takes their waste to the transfer station. And what is accepted in recycling differs between those two systems. So we are working with the county and with the hauler to try to get more consistency. And that will certainly help people to make the right decisions, because that's our culture on the island, is people want to do the right thing for the environment. And we need to make it easy as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a question. I noticed that in the recycling, the plastics in particular, I think they've changed, Emily, what they accept and what, I mean, like right now, it's just the one that has a one on the plastic, and that, is that the only thing they accept at recycling, or?
Well, it should be ones and twos.
Ones and twos.
Yeah,
okay.
And are you curbside? Well, we could probably talk.
No, we
you take it to the transfer station. Yeah, they will take the ones and twos, and but they encourage you not to really look at the numbers.
Right.
Because that has led to some confusion over the years. So they will take your bottles and your tubs and your lids that are larger than 3 inches.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I know that that our cousin works with a company or recycles with a company that takes the clamshell containers. That's a separate thing from the county that you know about them?
The county will take some clamshell containers. It depends on the numbers. So there is a fact sheet. The county puts out a whole little sheet, and that is on our website at zerowastefashion.org.
Okay.
If you ever are looking at some strange container and wondering what can I do with this,
exactly.
you can easily find that on Zero Waste Fashion. You can also find it on the county website, but that's probably a little harder to navigate.
But maybe I could just jump in and say part of our campaign is to really have people take a look at the packaging before they actually purchase it.
Yeah.
So instead of getting into this conundrum, now what do I do with it? Don't choose it to begin with. And
You know, in fact, my wife has what she calls packaging rage.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you'll get some of these things that you need a chainsaw to get into.
Something you're using for 20 seconds.
Yeah,
and the fossil fuels that have been used to manufacture it, its whole life cycle, to be used for 20 seconds and then thrown away, except for then what do I do with it, you know? So that's what we're trying to have people take a look at items in their households where, you know, there are other options. And if, as consumers, we start not selecting these products, I'm hoping they won't show up on the shelves anymore.
There is so much of that. You're right. Some of those containers are about 10 times the size of the thing that's inside of them.
Right.
And just to get into them is ridiculous.
Actually, you know, if I could just jump in, it makes me think. I was waiting for a ferry the other day, and there's a woman on the island who is a sustainability officer or works in that department for Amazon, and she was heading off to London for a meeting. It would be super cool to get her on. And never got her name, but, you know.
Well, we'll track her down.
What Amazon is doing, because we all kind of rage about Amazon, and I know they are trying to make, you know, take steps.
Oh, yeah. When you get, I mean, I know a couple of places that I purchase things that come in boxes that are, and they have the little tiny thing in the corner. What in the world? You could have put that in an envelope. Okay.
A plastic envelope.
No, sorry.
Recyclable plastic envelope.
Yeah, sorry. I couldn't resist.
You couldn't resist, could you?
No, but you know, one of the things I noticed is that the canned goods, the Coca-Cola and that sort of stuff, those plastic things that they're, the six packs.
Oh, the rings.
I understand now they're making one that's edible. And that if it ends up in the ocean, the critters can eat it. So I thought, that's kind of cool. But
yeah.
Well, the Choose Plastic Free campaign, how long has that been around?
January 1st.
Okay, so it really is brand new. Okay. Is there anything in particular that you're focusing on first in that campaign?
Yes, our first area of focus is single-use beverage containers. So we're encouraging people to avoid that. And the way you do that is when you go to have that cup of coffee at the coffee shop, bring your own reusable mug. Or if you're able to stay at the coffee shop, ask them to use a ceramic, you know, mug while you're there, which is always a nice experience to sit and visit with a friend and have a nice warm cup of coffee. Also, plastic bottles for water, those are really a problem. And so bring your reusable water bottle before you leave the house. If you've got to go off island for the day, fill up that water bottle and bring it with you instead of having to pick up something, you know, from the store. And those can make big differences. And they're not hard to do. And it's, you know, it really adds up over the course of a year.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, did you have a question?
Yeah, I think it's a really awesome campaign. I, of course, I'm a historic bring my own mug type of person. But whenever I drive by the signs on the island now, I say, bring your own mug. And I say, well, those of you on Zoom, you know, I got my mug right here. the other mug that I used to drink it. So that's what goes through my head.
Yeah, a fine looking mug it is. Yeah. Too, yes.
It is. With that haircut, especially.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're responsible for those signs that are out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
And we move them around. But I don't think most people know. You think you're getting a paper cup when you go to the coffee, you know, the coffee stand, but it is plastic lined. And 50 billion coffee cups every year are thrown away in the U.S. Billion.
Wow.
So yeah. It's so easy just to, you know, throw a mug in your backpack, your bike pack, your purse, et cetera, and always have it in the car. So little actions, you know, can have big impacts.
I get a little righteous over some of that, too. I mean, you know, I didn't ask for a cuff on my cup. Is it? It's not that hot. I don't need it.
Oh, the lid. Yeah.
The lid
or the cuff.
Oh, cuff around.
Oh, the cuff. Yeah. Well, right. See, that you avoid all this, just bring in your mug.
That's right.
So my big bugaboo is the plastic bags in the produce section of the grocery store.
Exactly. Well, you've hit your campaign focus number two.
Okay.
Coming up in March.
March.
Well, tell us about it. That's it.
Single disposable bags, those small to single disposable bags are really a problem in terms of just the numbers. And the way we keep thinking about this, if we're going to live a carbon-free life, all of these single disposable, you know, plastic are made from fossil fuels. So they have a big impact on how we're going to get to net zero carbon that the U.S. has pledged, you know, as well as the rest of the world has pledged to. So not only is it, you know, a waste issue in terms of threat to the marine environment, flying away, how we're going to dispose of it, et cetera, I think of it as like a car emission. You know, it's just like polluting right from the get-go. So we are going to encourage people to bring small bags themselves. I mean, really think before you pull it. Pull it down off of the roll. Do you need it? If you do need it, then bring it back the next time and reuse it over and over and over again. I just find, I don't need it really to put 3 carrots in. Do I really need a bag? I don't think so. And then my wet parsley. Okay, I do have some mesh cotton cinched bags. And they're now selling them at Thriftway in the produce department, I noticed, which is awesome. I'd like to think it's something of an effect of our campaign.
Well, it didn't take very long to convince people to bring their own bags for hauling the groceries.
Exactly.
I mean, I still occasionally leave mine in the car, and they don't think of it until I get to the checkout stand and go, oh, darn, I left the thing in the car again. But we're doing it, and we're, you know, not using the paper bags as much. So this should be a fairly easy campaign, I would think, to have people also bring produce bags.
Yeah, I think some of this, you know, with COVID, so much plastic got sort of reintroduced into our lives, because there was a lot of fear, and there was the belief that you couldn't touch anything that anybody had touched. And I think certainly COVID is still around, but they've realized that some of the things we were really concerned about weren't as hazardous as initially thought. But boy, the plastics industry jumped right in and provided solutions, you know, and next thing you know, we're all eating all of our food out of plastic takeout containers and, you know, not using our reusable bags. Remember when those weren't allowed? And so I think for us to sort of walk it back and be reasonable again and use our reusable things when we can, that's definitely a step in the right direction. And this campaign, you know, addresses that. I just wanted to say, as far as the produce bags, I asked for reusable ones for Christmas, and boy, I love them. And my husband said, well, they came in a big package. You might have to share them. and I use them all every week, you know, because some are stored in the fridge with the produce and some I take with me. And then you have to, you know, you wash them.
Well, you know, I like to think that we live in a fairly progressive and well-informed community. But even here, you run obviously you run into people who don't understand, or they've never really learned what's happening here. But you still occasionally run into some resistance. It always drives me nuts when I go to the grocery store and somebody asks me, do you want to have plastic or paper a bag? And I go, no, I don't want a bag. And they look at me like I'm a communist or something. You know, you don't want a bag? And I said, do I need a bag in order to get these out of the store? You know, I mean, I've got a half gallon of milk with a handle on it. Do I have to put that in a bag? You know, and I'll get into an argument with the, and he'll look at me, or he or she will look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm thinking, good Lord.
Well, that's I'm hoping that if we have people as role models out there, that I think all of us want to just do what our neighbors are doing, like the person in front of us in line is doing. So if we make it a habit and there's sort of this critical mass, then I think people will just kind of jump on board. Oh, that's how you roll on Vashon. I guess when you move here, it means you bring your own produce bags.
Well, you know, like I was saying, we pretty much got into the habit of bringing our own bags to haul our groceries. So just throw one of those produce bags in those bags. Keep them there.
Exactly.
And so when you put that in your car, you've got a produce bag and the bag that you're hauling your groceries. Duh, I just thought of that.
And your mug, slow. Too.
And your mug. That's right.
And your mug. And your other mug.
I want to leave this mug at home. I'm sorry.
Save us, please.
Yeah.
The whole Choose Plastic Free campaign that Celia, you're heading up.
Well, Nancy and I, and we have Tanya Kinnear, is also a person who's very much involved, and she's been with us from the beginning. Yes. Okay.
Credit where credit is due. Yes. What else are you doing besides the two things that you just mentioned? Or what are you planning?
We're planning, so we've covered two areas of focus. So our third is plastic packaging in general. And so really making people aware, make a choice when you go to the aisles and to, you know, whatever it is you're buying. And I certainly learned when I lived a year without plastic, there are options out there. Now everybody doesn't have to be as, you know, totally, you know, is 100% the way I try to be. However, so make choices. And you know, we might run some challenges, the packaging of shame and the packaging of, what was the other, shame?
Yeah.
With
the packaging, we thought the packaging hall of fame for when you do come across a product that's packaged well environmentally, when somebody's been innovative, you know, and used cardboard or used, you know, different materials, and then the packaging hall of shame. So I'm thinking your wife can start taking some pictures
of that,
of that, you know, lip gloss from Costco that's in a 3x4 foot plastic, you know. So
So we'll have the plastic packaging as an area of focus. And then the last one will be synthetic fabrics to really make people aware that every time we wash synthetic fabrics, microplastics are going into our water systems. It's a big source of microplastics in the ocean is coming from synthetic fabrics.
It's in everything, isn't it? Absolutely everything.
And in our bodies.
In the air.
In the air and the shedding. I mean, it's just the shedding of it. So, anyway, so those are the four areas.
No, are you going to expand into anything else? If something occurs to you, you probably
will. Well, you know, we're very collaborative. Hey, you know, we're open to any and all organizations or people to reach out and say, why don't we do this? I think that's what's so fun about working on Vashon. I think people are very collaborative. They have so many great ideas, great resources. We sent out kind of a press release to all the organizations and got great response. Yeah, the Garden Club, we'll take a look at, you know, those plastic
pots,
you know, things like that. So we are definitely open.
So tell us more about the participation of the school. How's that working?
Yeah, that has been really fun. It just happened that Celia and I have been volunteers at the Green Team at Chautauqua for a few years now. So that dovetailed rather nicely when this campaign came about. And we work with Amy Bogard, who is the one of the science teachers and the leader of the Green Team at Chautauqua. And they have great participation this year. There's like 35 kids on the Green Team, and they have taken on reducing plastic pollution as their theme for this year.
And what is the Green Team? I've never heard of it.
The Green Team is basically a club of students that work on environmental issues. So each of the schools has a Green Team, Chautauqua, McMurray, and the high school. And the one that we're working most closely with right now is Chautauqua. And so they meet. These kids come at 8:15 every other Wednesday and meet for an hour and work on environmental topics. So it's really great, and there's a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And they are reaching out. They serve as ambassadors, and each Green Team member they have a class that they go to, and they share the message of what they've learned with an entire class. Mm. And that's a new thing this year, and that seems to be working out really well. And then Celia mentioned the banners that the Green Team will be working on, if we can pull it all together, to have some banners to get the message out to the public around Earth Day.
And then we have the Green School.
Right.
You're right. And so later this afternoon, Nancy, Tanya, and myself are going to go meet with the Green School students who are doing a 6-week curriculum on plastic. And they've been going out to the beach apparently every day or several times a week to collect plastic on the beach. They're studying the impact. It's pretty impressive. I mean, and they're going to be in front of Thriftway. They're starting to sew up cotton bags to use as produce bags as alternative to plastic. And they say they want to have a table in front of Thriftway next in March, I believe. Super exciting.
That sounds like a great interactive way to get the message across. I'm curious. It's always difficult sometimes to get the message across. And you've talked about ways, so working with the Green Team and the Green School and having those people help. And you've done press releases. I assume you're a part of the website of Zero Waste Vashon. Zero Waste Vashon is what? ZeroWasteVashon.com, isn't it?
No,
.org.
Oh, .org.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yep.
.org, right.
Yep. And there is a Choose Plastic Free page on our website, and there's links to other resources there, and that will be growing as the campaign grows.
Okay. And how else do you get the message out? If you put out sort of a general invitation to groups on the island, you'll come and talk to them? Or
yeah, absolutely. And then I think, you know, as the campaign evolves throughout the year, I'd like to have more kind of meetups or connections. Maybe we'll show a movie. Maybe, you know, have kind of a social hour with a beverage and bring we'll all bring a product that we really love that is non-plastic you know, in a container or something like that. So we could share ideas. And I'm just finding I want to connect more with people. Mm-hmm. With the climate crisis, the more dire it gets, the more I kind of like, I need to be with people. Mm-hmm. And I think we would like to have, you know, that will be part of it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Besides the website, how else can people learn about what you're doing with the Choose Plastic Free?
So we have sent out press releases to the Beachcomber and the Loop, so there will probably be some notices there. We've done some editorial. Celia did one. I will be doing another one, so look for that. We have posters around town. We have an Instagram account, which is hashtag choose
plastic free.
Right? Yeah. Also, our Zero Waste Vashon Facebook page and Instagram share information about the campaign. Trying to think of what else we've got.
Well, we have an email address that people want to write.
We certainly do.
If somebody wants to volunteer, they can write you on that email address.
Yes, absolutely. Please do. It's CPF, make sure I get that right, at zerowastevashon.org. And that will go directly to Celia and I. And then we would love to connect with more volunteers. And if people have ideas that they would like to, you know, move forward with, we would love to hear about that.
Not to get into a Kevin's bailiwick, but I see on the website there's a legislative agenda. Is there some things that you folks are doing statewide?
Well, yes, definitely Zero Waste Vashon is doing, we support the legislative work. Most of it is put forward by Zero Waste Washington, which is, you know, the statewide organization with a similar mission to ours. And they have people who are actively working in Olympia to forward legislation to reduce plastics. There's a producer responsibility legislation that's on the dock. I see Kevin's got his hand up.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to jump in, and thank you for introducing this topic. I do want to say Zero Waste Vashon is a major part of the Vashon Mori environment and climate agenda. And in addition to what Nancy just said, there's also a Plastics Reduction Act. Turns out there's a hearing on that a couple of days from now. So the thing that Vashon Islanders can do, our listeners can do, is if you show up either on Zoom or in person on the 16th, that's Thursday, February 16th, at the Vashon Mori Community Council meeting, there will be a motion to support these legislative outcomes. One of which Nancy discussed, also, like I say, Plastics Reduction Act. That motion will go forward for a vote. And it basically says, hey, legislators, these groups on Vashon are doing great work. We want you to line up and pass some of this legislation that will help them achieve their outcomes. 6 o'clock on the 16th, Zoom or in person at the Land Trust building, come out and vote yes on that motion so I can make sure to lend our support to the great work that's going on.
Thanks, Kevin. That's an important announcement. Celia and Nancy, thank you very much for joining us. We've learned a lot today, and we encourage you to continue with the great work you're doing. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us before we move on to our last little segment of the show?
I guess, you know, our mantra is think before you buy it. Do I need it? Is it petroleum-based? Make it a habit to choose plastic-free when possible.
I have one more question, too, though. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
And that is, I'm fascinated by the synthetic clothing business, about the washing of that. And how do you, I mean, I know that if I fly on the airlines, I want to wear cotton. And the reason is because if there's a fire, the cotton doesn't burn like the synthetics do. I know that sounds pretty bizarre.
Well, that sounds really real.
Yeah. Well, and I also choose sturdy shoes, which drives me crazy to see people wearing flip-flops getting on an airplane. But anyway, I'm fascinated by that. And how in the world do we get around, you know, these synthetic materials? I mean, I'm looking at the shirt I'm wearing going, pretty stretchy. It's got to have some synthetics in it. So you just read the labels, I assume, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You read the labels. More and more out there, there are manufacturers who are going towards organic cotton. Some of them are doing recycled polyester, and, you know, so that's a step in the right direction. Of course, 100% natural is, you know, the holy grail, but maybe not realistic for everyone. But more and more of those things are available out there, which is encouraging. I think staying away from the fast fashion, you know, from the really cheap stuff that people wear
Spandex.
And throw away and, you know, pick up inexpensively and wear for a minute and then throw it away because it's not in fashion anymore. That's something else, you know, that will be discouraging when we get to that part of the campaign. So choose natural fabrics when you can. Look for recycled content when you can. And keep your stuff, you know?
Sure. Yeah. And we do hope to address there are filters you can put on your washing machines that will filter out some of these fibers. Something that we're going to look into. And I'm thinking, or we're thinking maybe the Makerspace might be able to help us with this in terms of installing it. You know, how difficult is it to install these filters? So this is something that we'll be kind of researching, but when you Google this, there are options out there to help your washing machine filter it out.
Okay. You said keep your stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's no problem.
Yeah. I was going to say, that is not really... I think I mentioned last week, you just reminded me, I was invited to a party that where the theme was wearing clothes from the 80s. That was the costume, and I go...
Oops, I had.
That's the costume? I was going to say, I'm wearing clothes that I got in the 80s.
Only the 80s? Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
I was going to say, actually, you've added a new line to my mantra. William Morris, famous English designer, architect, wallpaper, right. etc., used to say, don't ever purchase anything that you, unless you know it to be useful and believe it to be beautiful. And I'm going to add to that, or... eliminates or reduces the use of plastic.
There we go.
There we go. I can see a bumper sticker.
A long bumper sticker.
Nice. Yeah. That's right. So, all right. Well, thank you. And I welcome you to stay for the last few minutes of the show where we sometimes take on some controversial and or ridiculous issues that are presently circulating around the world and around the nation. But I did want to start... just briefly, with our post office employees, we all hope for the best there. And the fact that we can get our postal service back online, I heard a very disheartening thing here the other day, and it was that the post office was not paying its employees. There was no pay. And they, as a public service, and because of their feeling of duty, are continuing to do the job. Obviously, they did have a work fair here the other day, and I think they may have hired three new people, but it's not going to be easy to hire people if they're not getting paid. Any news from your point of view there, Kevin?
I'm just wondering, Craig, if this is due to the dramatic measures that Finance Chair Yellen said we need to take because we've hit the country's debt limit. I don't know that to be true.
I don't either, but you know, we can look forward to those kinds of issues if that continues. If we don't get the debt,
or maybe this is just another reason to not want Tony or Louis DeJoy to be in the job. And I, you know, I think something does
removing him is more difficult than I don't have an analogy off the top of my head. I get in trouble
more difficult than Truman's stove. That's for sure.
Opening his drawer there.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I can't open my drawer, and we can't get rid of DeJoy.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, and Kevin, since you've been active in the new revised community council, have you been listening to the discussion of the revisions to the town plan for higher density? Do you there's an idea or a proposal floated by King County to permit more high density, and affordable housing in the core center.
Well, it's definitely at the last board meeting, Diane Emerson who was on our show just, you know, within a week or so, said, hey, we need to be paying attention to the town plan. You know, it's something the council has historically paid attention to. It involves all of us in some ways. So what Diane talked about is, you know, how do we move that into the agenda of the council? And perhaps, you know, folks is saying, hey, I want to be looking at this part of the plan, and somebody else might look at some other part of the plan. So I think it's just kind of coming forward into the awareness of the council, is my understanding.
Go ahead, Truman.
Well, during the last revision they did of the whole King County plan, I was very much involved in that, and since I've been away from it, do we have a new revision coming out? Is that what's going on? And is that part of
it? There's an overlay that's been proposed.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, I've not looked into it myself. That's kind of, I think, what Diane was getting to, mm-hmm. is that these things are now available for us to take a look at.
Well, I know that's a place where they change zoning and all kinds of things that happen during that process. So
you know, that's affordable housing. I mean, if you ask anyone on the street, are you in favor, are you for or against affordable housing? Rarely would you run into somebody who said, no, I'm dead set against affordable housing. But at the same time, we do have a schizophrenic population on Vashon. And I'm looking at you, Truman. No, I'm
not.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not looking at you. Yeah. Although we agree that we should have affordable housing, we've always had the number one response to what's the most important thing to people on Vashon has been to keep the island rural, which, of course, is sort of anti-development. So undoubtedly, there will be pushback on any proposal of affordable housing or rezoning when the rubber meets the road. Kevin?
Yeah, I've been following up with Jason Johnson. You know, he joined from Vashon Household. Jason joined us some time ago now on the show about the survey that they sent out regarding, do people on Vashon have properties that they are willing to make available for housing on the island? And the survey results, Jason just last week said, you're still working to finalize the data, and he said, contact me back in February at the end of the month. You know, we'll see what we can put out there. But I also had the good fortune to join the Vashon Social Services Network meeting this month. And I can't recall who mentioned it, but apparently three households have now agreed to participate in making a portion of their existing home or property available for another family. So there is some motion in that direction, and I really champion the work that's being done there to raise the awareness and to get people on board. And maybe this is something else that, you know, get the ball rolling, and you know, who knows what might happen. So,
well, the whole King County thing about their ADU, you know, the additional dwelling unit, the whole rules around that, I think, have changed so that they are available. You know, that it is available that you can add to your property. So.
Yeah, I think Dow.
Yeah, I think some legislation regarding that.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's some legislation. I don't recall exactly, but this again is where this whole notion of our legislative agenda through the council can help to really amplify those things to either the county or our legislators about the needs on the island. So yeah, these are important discussions for us to have.
I'm going to change up here a bit, real quickly. There's so many things we could talk about, but we can't leave without talking about the balloon. It's interesting. When Secretary of State Tony Blinken said he was going to go to China, China responded by sending balloons. Mm-hmm. I thought that seems like a reasonable, polite thing to do.
No cake, no candles?
Yes, right. No candles. Yeah. So what do you think about the so-called weather balloon that floated across the U.S., and more importantly, the way the administration has addressed it and the criticism that they've gotten for not blasting it out of the sky the moment it got anywhere near out of international waters into our waters.
Well, the first comment is, don't you know that fighter pilot was just loving every second of getting to shoot that darn thing down? I mean, I thought I could just hear that guy going, all right, yeah, it's so fun. Yeah, that's the first thing. But the second thing is having worked in intelligence work over the years ago, I can tell you that the amount of intelligence gathering that is accomplished without a weather balloon is is way, way beyond what you could do with a stupid weather balloon. This strikes me as being politically motivated or used to cause controversy or whatever. But I can tell you that very little intelligence is going to be gathered more than is already being done. So
my understanding that just the opposite will occur. The U.S. intelligence will gather intelligence from the things that they've salvaged from the balloon, and that the balloon's surveillance was jammed from the moment it entered the U.S. territory.
And the electrical stuff was. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Kevin?
Yeah, and so when you hear about sources and methods, you know, surrounding classified documents that might be at a Florida country club and revealing sources and methods, this is what we're talking about, right? Is how do either us or our adversaries collect information that's valuable that they can use against us. So this is one of the sources and methods. I do think it's just fascinating that I don't know which lawmaker who's now complaining about their quote, air quotes here, inactivity or failure of the current administration to address this problem, unquote. You know, which lawmaker was going to pick the place that the fighter jet would shoot it down over U.S. populated territory and risk it landing on some poor person's house. So I think it's completely inconsistent in terms of, you know, what's a logical response to this. And I think what the administration did, plus the measures, you know, to recognize that it is there, which apparently was failed to happen during the previous administration on numerous occasions, apparently. But this administration, I think, took a very appropriate action.
Yeah, there were, I think, several legislators who were very critical of the Biden administration, one of whom was James Comer, who's the new chair of the Oversight and Accountability Committee from Kentucky. He blasted Biden for not blasting the balloon. By the way, I thought they can't really criticize President Biden for not addressing inflation. He did blow a balloon out of the sky.
He deflated the heck out of that thing. Yeah.
I mean, what more does it take, you know?
Yeah. See, if Comer had come forward and say the balloon's over Kentucky, shoot it down now, then that would be a different thing, you know, but that didn't happen.
No. Blue moon over Kentucky. That's right. That brings up another point in the last couple seconds we have left is this whole shift in the committees that we have in Congress. The Oversight Committee I just mentioned, Armed Services Committee is headed up by Mike Rogers of Alabama. He's a fellow that lunged at Matt Gaetz during the speaker discussions. Energy and Commerce is headed up by Kathy McMorris of Washington. She's somebody who has on several occasions said that the earth is only 6,000 years old. And Homeland Security, Mark Green is from Tennessee. He's the Freedom Caucus, you know, basically wanted to overthrow the election. And the Judiciary Committee, my all-time favorite. I have a tongue deep in my cheek. Jim Jordan, No Jacket Jordan, from Ohio.
GYM Jordan. That's what I've been reading lately.
Oh yes, yeah. Yes. Jim Jordan, yes. Exactly. Chair of the Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government. Oh my! Stay tuned. Watch this space.
When the government's coming after you for breaking the law, then you got to call it weaponization. That's all I can say.
That's right. Hey, next week we hear from Small Talk guest James Froyen of the Vashon Island Rotary Environmental Sustainability Committee. Join us then. And for Celia and Nancy, Truman and Kevin, I'm Craig Bellis. Hope you will join us next Tuesday for the next edition of The Brown Briefly. Bye now.
Have a wonderful week.